Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, this is Peter Paul Brazilla on primary day in some of the states across this great, still great, United States of America. And of course our theme, our introductory theme, the usual one we use, Hector Berlioz's Symphonie Fantastique, March to the Scaffold, a rare, very, very old recording from the archives of Western Public Radio and KLW, where I was a correspondent. Today is election day, and of course that's an appropriate theme, the March to the Scaffold, where a lot of these incompetent, corrupt, unethical lawyers, politicians who are running for office or running for re-election, that's where they belong, right in that line, the French Revolution, right to Madame Guillotine, let her speak. We're speaking metaphorically, of course. We are not advocating any physical violence against these people. We were supposed to have General Philip Berrigan and had a little problem with the oral history tape, so we'll probably have him this coming Thursday among our upcoming oral history, which we have a lot. We have over 1,500 interviews and shows that were produced at Western Public Radio and KALW here in San Francisco, and we're done in Australia, Canada, New Zealand, and the United States. And among the other people we have in the oral history, we've already did excerpts from a few, were more from Brigadier Ingalls, who was the last commanding general of the Bengal Lancers, and he was probably Britain's foremost expert. He was up there for 30 years in India and Northwest Frontier, which is today Pakistan, Afghanistan, and what the split was there, Bengal. And then we have what is very relevant to today, a British, what they call Special Operations Executive. There were some shows on the History Channel on cable. I think it was Commander Trainer. He served in Greece after 1946 to prevent Greece from being taken over by the communists. Of course, the communists took over in a different way with Papandreou and those people, and now they're paying more than paying the piper. The piper owns them. And then we have more from Colonel Trevor Hodges, who served in both the British Army, the Grenadiers, at Gallipoli and at the Somme in World War One, and in World War Two, he was an American citizen, and he was a colonel in the U.S. Army and served up here in the San Francisco area and commander of a Women's Army Corps division. So that and many other interviews, I just have to edit them down to digital. And we'll continue with other exposés and political facts for frauds and fictions. So this is an interesting, not too many birthdays today, but some interesting ones. For those of you who like music, as the great composer Robert Schumann, who interestingly was one of the there were several composers who studied law. Handel, George Frederick Handel, Robert Schumann, both Germans. Igor Stravinsky studied law, and also Peter Tchaikovsky. I think it was one other. And then a lot of our great conductors, music conductors, and composers were also studied philosophy, and I think this is reflected in their music. And for our military people, today is the birthday of Admiral David Porter, who served. He was the other admiral in the Civil War. The other admiral was David Farragut, who was born in the Canary Islands, Spanish, Scotch, and he was the one who made the famous statement, "Full speed ahead, damn the torpedoes." And we have a U.S. Supreme Court Associate Justice, a football player, friend of Robert the Kennedys, first appointment to the U.S. Supreme Court, Byron Whizzer White, who is from Colorado. And then the actor, and of course, since we're talking about the executive branch, Barbara Bush's birthday is today. And then we have the actor Robert Preston. And then I didn't know she was from Canada, Alexis Smith, and she was in the late 40s, good-looking woman, one of the many Canadians, and we'll do something on the Canadian contribution to American culture. You'd be surprised what the Canucks have contributed. We have great actors, people you wouldn't even think of, like John Ireland, great Glenn Ford, who also became a U.S. citizen, served in the Marine Corps, and became an admiral, I think it was an admiral in the reserves, and of course you saw him in the film Midway. And then Pigeon, great Walter Pigeon, great voice from Canada, and also one of the, Massey, his brother was the Canadian Governor General, and Massey Ferguson was the world's biggest tractor corporation. They were from that family, and they recently, or not recently, but acquired John Deere, which was an Illinois tractor company. I believe it's Illinois, but American. And a lot of Canadians who have contributed to American culture, we don't give them. And then there's been a couple of corrupt ones. We had this Kevin Ryan, this corrupt judge down here in San Francisco, who lied about how he entered the United States. And we'll get into that because it's affected a case involving national security and a 15-year case involving Stephen Nery, an 18-year-old sailor who was drugged, raped, and railroaded here in this corrupt city of San Francisco. And then another great pianist, I think he's partially disabled, is Emmanuel Axe. He was born today. And let's see, that's enough of those. One too many birthdays. And among the deaths, he didn't die soon enough. Mohammed, the prophet, was the writer of the Quran. He was supposed to have died today in AD 69. Should have died sooner. And then the great writer who wrote Common Sense, Thomas Paine, died in 1809. Robert Taylor, another actor. Then among the inventions, and every woman should be grateful, the vacuum cleaner was patented today in 1869. No, excuse me. And let's see, who else today? Oh, yes, in our other interesting depths, he didn't die too soon, was Nero. He committed suicide in 68, and I suggest you see one of the great films with Peter Ustinov, who, interestingly, had African blood, even though he had a Russian name. One of his forebears, ancestors, was the African that Peter the Great, one of the Romanov's greatest emperors, Russia's greatest emperor, built the father of the Russian Navy, brought this African back to Russia, and Peter Ustinov is a descendant, or was, he's dead. See him in The Robe. It's a great performance. And then the first corporation, a first legal corporation was set up in America today, and it was Harvard. And, of course, they haven't stopped being that since. A lot of our judges, lawyers, Supreme Court, and Associate Justice come from these law schools, Harvard and Yale and the University of Chicago. And, of course, Mr. O is a graduate and is supposed to have been the editor of the Harvard Law Review, but nobody's seen anything he's written. Now, won't say anything more on that one. And then we have the first, in 1909, this is the women's rights, the first woman, 22 years old, she drove in 59 days from New York to San Francisco. That's about 3,800 miles. And then we had the sinking of the Lusitania. We had this progressive, controversial Williams Jennings Bryan, who was a three-time or four-time candidate for the presidency, and his most famous statement was, "Don't crucify me on this cross of gold." He wanted silver, I think it was, as the standard for our money instead of gold. And then in 1946, The longest reigning monarch in world history, modern world history, king, I can't pronounce his name, Bhumibol Adulyadej, in Thailand. And of course, Thailand has been in the news recently because, not only because of Thomas White, an international sexual predator, headquartered and operating out of San Francisco and connected to San Francisco politicians, and prosecuted in both the Ninth District's court here in San Francisco, as well as in Mexico for molesting young boys. And you can go to our website and see the connections to San Francisco's politicians and the district attorney's office. And it's amicus, AMICUSVERITAS, .org, and Thomas White is up there. And also there's an article in People magazine about Thomas White. Oren Vandersloot, whose father was studying to be a judge and didn't quite make it, or they stopped it, the sexual predator from Aruba, Dutch citizenship. I think Aruba is still a Dutch territory. He was in Thailand recently, presumably or suspected of soliciting young women. There's a sex trade apparently going on in Aruba, and we'll get to some of that because we had talked to a person on one of the cruise ships that went down there, and there seems to be these young boys, young males, prey on these women who are traveling on these cruise ships. And of course, that we believe that Natalie Holloway was she's still missing, probably dead, unfortunately, and she was one of the victims of Vandersloot. And the Peruvians are interrogating Yoren, and he supposedly killed this woman, allegedly killed this woman, the Peruvian lady, because she accessed his computer without his knowledge or permission and found some very incriminating evidence. So it goes to the show, you got to clean your hard drive. And then in 1967, we had Israel fought the Six-Day War, lightning war, what they call an Israeli blitzkrieg, which the Israeli army, Moshe Dayan, seized the Golan Heights. And, of course, I remember that a lot of the Americans that I knew, young Americans who are Jewish heritage, were going to the Israeli consulate to get a visa to go and fight the Arabs, but by the time they got around the block, the war was over. So that was that. And then there was another war with the Arabs, and Israel wasn't prepared. The Yom Kippur War, which is very interesting for the American forces. We've had some problems with, I think it was with a girl, a young woman at the Air Force Academy, who complained that she had to drill on Yom Kippur or Hanukkah one of these days, but they don't realize that's when, you know, a holiday or a religious feast day is when the enemy attacks. You got to be ready. And she learned nothing, or she was ignorant about the Six-Day War, or the Yom Kippur and the Yom Kippur War, which cost the Israelis quite a bit. And then in 1968, we had the LBJ declared a national day of mourning for the assassination of Robert Kennedy, an interesting man. We're going to find out more about his alleged relationship with Marilyn Monroe. Now, we were going to have Brigadier Philip Berrigan's interview, but we had a little problems. But today is primary day, and what people and I keep saying this, and I can't say it enough, that people who are concerned, and some are like authors who are plugging books, like Morris, who used to work for the Clinton White House, is talking about taking back Congress in 2010 and Roe and all these people. But nobody's talking about the vote fraud of the past, and that's how these the Lavender Left, the Radical Left, got into power. And I've always said that because of these people controlling, once they get into these various offices, they control the federal and the foundation funds and state funds that come into their local jurisdictions, and then they parcel them out, distribute them to their cronies, their lovers, their political supporters, and that's how they and the people who are involved in vote fraud, and that's how they get stay in power and get their buddies into power. It happened here in San Francisco. It's happened in Chicago, Tammany Hall. And so apparently these pundits and these authors and these media people, I keep telling them that we don't want to feel on Wednesday after the first Tuesday in November that we didn't take back Congress, we didn't get rid of the Pelosiites, the Reeds, and all these other political flotsam. And on Wednesday, you'll be saying, "How the hell did it happen? We don't want to relive that. It's happened before, and apparently these people are either ignorant of it, of that fact, or choose to ignore it. So we don't want to be sorry, because it's getting harder and harder to get these people out of office, to keep them even away from the polling, from the voter registrar's office, because of vote fraud. And one of the things people who are concerned about vote fraud should pay attention to, and these are public records. Check out your local voter registration rolls and see, especially in your own neighborhood, if you suspect that somebody is illegally voting or illegally registered, has voted absentee and wasn't entitled to, that ballot can be disqualified. So it's up to you to protect the most precious franchise that you have, and that is the free right to vote. Because in other countries, those people are intimidated into voting for a particular candidate, and if they don't, there's retribution from the thugs in that country, the political thugs. And, you know, we still have the right to vote, a free vote here, although the radical left would like to take it away or compromise it or disqualify it. So it's up to you. Again, ignorance is not bliss. What you don't know can hurt, harm, and cost you, and will. The other thing, on the Don't Ask, Don't Tell, it's very interesting. There may be a major scandal involving some top politicians and public figures that will erupt any day now about their checkered past regarding their sexual proclivities. Some things are coming up, and they have to be verified, because we don't want to be purveyors of gossip. But the suspicions have been there a long time, and people have a right to ask the question, are the people who promote open homosexuality, lesbianism, NAMBLA, S&M, satanic rites, and Wiccans and all that in our military forces, have they embraced the agenda? Are they engaged, or were they engaged in the practices? And that's a legitimate question. And people are very concerned about Nancy Pelosi, who unfortunately represents or misrepresents San Francisco, because this is basically a tolerant city, a tolerant area. And people came here from all across the country, in Canada and Mexico and other places, because they wanted to get away from the political corruption there. But what happens, Pelosi is not from San Francisco. She's from Baltimore, and from one of the corrupt political machines there, the DeLisandre. Her father was the mayor. And there's other questions about her and HUD and a lot of the, not only the health care issues, but the bogus nonprofits that she likes to steer federal funds to. They, in turn, ask their people and coerce their people into voting for her and other people in that corrupt political machine, the Burtons and Feinstein and Boxer, that crowd. And all these, except for Feinstein, who was born here, all these people are carpetbaggers from back east or down south, or from foreign countries like Kevin Ryan. But anyway, it's up to you to pay attention to these things, and if the Republicans and the Tea Party people take back Congress, she's out as Speaker. She ought to be out the door anyway. But what you really ought to see how wacko this woman is catch that news clip of her talking about the word. It's like she was on something. Some people think she is and was and still is. And she also promotes drugs and needle exchange for youths, a lot of wacko things. So she's a disgrace to Congress, and unfortunately, we still haven't realized, a lot of people have not realized, that women can be just as bad and even worse than some of the men. And throughout history, like we had people like Madame LaFarge, Lucretia Borgia, you wouldn't want to go to lunch with her. People like that who have caused the downfall of monarchies and the destruction of countries. One of the worst queens in French history, Catherine de Medici, Italian, who actually came from Italy, married the French king, and she brought her cooks with her and taught the French, who were barbarians, taught them how to cook, and that's where we get French cuisine today. It came from her and her cooks. But she caused one of the biggest, she's an instigator of one of the biggest massacres, religious massacres in history, that of the Huguenots, the French Protestants, and called the St. Bartholomew's Day Massacre. And the Huguenots who survived, escaped the massacre, fled to England, and we have names like Olivier de Havilland. Some of them also were from the Normans. And then the ones that didn't go to England or went to England and then came to America, like DuPont, founded DuPont de Nemours, the biggest chemical corporation in North America, and also supplied munitions, gunpowder for the American Revolution, and was part of General Motors for many, many years until the federal government finally broke up that monopoly. But and then we have White Plains, New York, where a lot of the Huguenots, French Protestants, settled. And we also, probably the most interesting French Huguenot in modern history was Coeur de Merville, who was the foreign minister for Charles de Gaulle. And Charles de Gaulle, who was a pretty good surveyor of people, made the comment that his foreign minister, de Gaulle was Roman Catholic conservative, I made the comment that Coeur de Merville was so cool he could sit on a block of ice and it wouldn't melt. But he was unusual. He was a Protestant. And, of course, one of the things that are going to come out on the Hugues de la Plaza homicide, which is the second year, this is the anniversary, June, is the Minister of Justice in the Charles de Gaulle government is the grandfather of one of the people involved in the Hugues de la Plaza investigation. We'll get into that with video documentation. I recommend that you also go to our YouTube site, Amicus Veritas, AmiCusVeritas. We've suggested, getting back to Don't Ask, Don't Tell, or Don't Ask, Don't Want to Tell, is that if the military goes through this, I understand there's a lot of opposition, suspicion, and there's going to be resistance because, contrary to the propagandists, and most of the people promoting this are involved in male prostitution, pornography. They spy on, they're video voyeurs who spy on the young military recruits at Annapolis, the Air Force Academy, Army bases. And it's all over the web. These people are really blatant. But it's been suggested that they allow a policy of open homosexuals and lesbians and mammas, that they be put in a separate section. So that's going to be interesting, the logistics of it. But the proponents of the change in this policy overlook or ignore or conceal the fact that Britain, which has allowed open homosexuals and lesbians in their military, there have been recruits who have been sexually molested, and a few have been murdered. We've had a case in Chile, which has also allowed that. A military youth, was horribly murdered and mutilated, raped, mutilated and murdered, tortured. There are other cases around the world, so this is not the best thing. And here in California, we've had at least 8 U.S. Marine recruits who were picked up, drugged, mutilated, tortured, and murdered, and then dumped along the highways of southern and northern California. So there's a lot more to this. And, of course, the morons in the media, the homosexuals, in the media, and they are there. That's where this agenda is coming from. Have censored and suppressed these irrefutable facts. The other thing you should be concerned about is there is an effort to create, especially up here in the north, a homosexual political machine. People like Hormel, the Spam family, have been dumping money and supporting candidates who run for public office, and now they're focusing on the judiciary and these people who are gay. I don't know what their why their crotch politics has to be a criteria in the judicial race or for a position on the courts, when the courts should be gender neutral. That, you know, a person comes before, whether it's a male or female judge, whatever that judge's sexual preference is, as long as they keep it quiet and private and don't impose it on anybody or let it infect their judgments, that this is becoming the agenda that these people are running because they're gay sympathetic, lesbian sympathetic. They don't talk about NAMBLA, but some of them are involved in pursuing young boys and girls. But again, courts should be gender neutral, in our opinion. So we're going to end with what's appropriate for today and then tune in Thursday. And we hope to have Philip Berrigan's interview. This is also the 50th anniversary of the opening of the St. Lawrence Seaway. Now, that was the dredging of that area so that ocean-going ships could come into the Great Lakes through the St. Lawrence Seaway, the border between United States and Canada, Quebec and upstate New York. General Philip Berrigan was a military engineer who died here in San Francisco at the Presidio, and he was the American in charge of the engineering for the American side. I don't know who the Canadian was, but this is the 50th anniversary, I think, this month. And he also worked on the Mulberry Bridges at Normandy, so we'll probably have his oral history interview. And so let us end with what's appropriate for this day.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of jacks, bat out.
Politics or poker, which is more important?
Parrot raise.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your five.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in. Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Pride, Michael Fajicinkovich, I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out, I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen, and George is in jail.
I didn't stop him.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot, that's me!
Politics and poker, politics.
let's hope they don't stack the deck tonight. This is Peter Paul Brazilla. Thank you for listening. Mm-hmm.